When I was a college student, I was rarely late for classes. But I was pretty much late to everything else. So when I became a campus minister, I remembered my propensity for being late and developed a policy for when I met with students. I'll tell you more about it coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. Every day at 11 Central, we come to you with advice and counsel from top-notch spiritual directors to help you live out your Catholic faith today. My name is Patrick Conley. Not long after graduating from college, I went to work for a campus ministry. The work had a lot of different elements, but one of the things I enjoyed the most was meeting one-on-one with students to hear what was going on in their lives, to encourage them and to pray with them. But college students didn't always have the best track record of being on time for things, or sometimes even remembering appointments at all. Remembering that I was often late as a college student myself, I developed a waiting policy. I would make sure to show up to the meeting spot, usually in the student union or at a local coffee shop. I would show up on time or even early. I'd grab a cup of coffee, and I made sure I always had a book with me. If my scheduled appointment was not there, I'd simply enjoy some extra time with coffee and a book. Not a bad way to spend some time. Now, most of these appointments were slated to be an hour, and as part of my waiting policy, I had a half-hour grace period. I'd wait up to half an hour into the scheduled appointment for the student to show up, but after that, if he or she didn't arrive, I'd consider myself free to go. In getting to know the students I worked with, I also got to know their timing habits. Some were always on time. Most were habitually late, sometimes very late. Part of developing my waiting policy was so that I wouldn't get frustrated if a student ran 15, 20, 25 minutes late. And in thinking about it, I think our Heavenly Father has the greatest waiting policy of all. It's never too early to draw closer to Him, but thanks be to God. If you happen to be running late and getting to prayer and repenting of sin and participating in the sacraments, you'll always find Him there waiting for you and happy that you finally come. Well, we're only 3 short days from Holy Week. Lent is almost over. But you know what? There's still time. If you've been late in making most of this Lenten season, or even if you've been following your Lenten disciplines well, there's still time to enter more deeply into this Lent, or even to just get started. Today on the show, our theme is It's Not Too Late to Have a Great Lent, giving us some ideas on how to do just that is our spiritual director for the day, Father Patrick Hyde. Father Patrick is a Dominican priest, a National Eucharistic preacher, and he serves as the pastor of the St. Paul Catholic Center at Indiana University. Father Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Patrick, it's good to be back with you. I must say you are much more gracious and generous with your time than I am with mine when students turn up late or don't turn up at all for meetings.
Well, so maybe I can learn a thing or two from that. I thought you might enjoy that, seeing as you do a lot of ministry with college students as well. Would you say that this was years ago, so did they still have a habit of being late?
Well, I always tell our young students that they don't realize until they're out of college that they have more free time in college than they ever will at any point in their adult life. And yet they don't think that at the time. They think they're totally overwhelmed and overbooked. And in many ways, they have a lot going on. But yes, it is still a challenge for some of our students to show up on time or not at all for things. And we always try to be merciful with things along those lines.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it is something that I think, again, it's the reason for developing this policy was really for myself, so I wouldn't get overly frustrated, but, you know, give some leeway, give some grace there as well. And if we're talking about getting started in Lent late, which it is late in Lent, but there's still time. That's what we want to emphasize today. But let's start, Father, with just talking about the whole purpose of Lent. Why do we have Lent in the first place? Why do we need to enter into it?
Yeah, that's always a good question for us, is to get back to why. Why do we do things? You know, why do we go to Mass? Why do we pray? Why do we believe at all? And when we look at Lent, I think one of the things that is so pervasive in Lent from the youngest to the oldest people in our church is we look at Lent as things that we are obliged to do or not to do, right? We don't eat meat on Fridays. We take on these penances, and that's what Lent is. But ultimately, I think we can then miss the point. If when we get to Easter Sunday, if we say, did I have a good Lent? And my answer is, well, I did the things that I said I would do, or I didn't do the things that I said I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Does that actually make us holier? Does that actually help us to grow? You know, when we look at our Lenten practices in particular, whether we've started them or failed altogether or struggled mightily along the way, how do we look at that? Do we look at it as something that is just, are we doing this because we want God to kind of be a garnish in our life? Or do we want God to be kind of injected into our life to give us strength to overcome this one thing? Or are we looking to immerse ourselves more deeply in the mystery of God? And Lent is really that reminder for us and that challenge to us that our life is about immersing ourselves deeply in that mystery of God, not just having God come in, swoop in, do some things for us for 40 days and then go back up into the ether, but for us to see everything in our life about that connection to God, that relationship with him, and that continuous unveiling of his mystery, of his life, of his love, of his mercy, of his grace, of his goodness in every aspect of our life. And our Lenten practices, they're geared toward not strengthening ourselves in one way, you know, and just be proving to someone or something else that we can do this, but they're about strengthening us for that continued immersion in the life of grace, the life of God.
I think that's a great point, Father. Just right there is I love the expression too. Is God is a garnish, and I think oftentimes you're right. You're exactly right that we take on these specific practices, and we are given this season not to prove, maybe even to ourselves, that we can do this. We can give up chocolate for 40 days. We can give up coffee for 40 days, which, by the way, I cannot. But I do think that it's important to remember and to realize that this is about establishing, reestablishing, deepening a relationship with the Lord. And in that way, I suppose it's true that it's never too late to start Lent.
It's never too late for anyone at any time. I mean, this is the power of God's grace, is that if at the penultimate moment of our life, we open our hearts to Jesus, we choose Jesus and we ask him for his mercy, we believe that Jesus can and desires to be merciful on each and every one of us, because it is he who loves us first. Everything we do is simply a response to that love. And we know this from human relationships, right? Sometimes we don't realize until someone we've known and loved for a long time is gone how much we truly love them. And so often in our life, too, in our walk with the Lord, it can take us years sometimes of jerks and starts and failures before we truly realize that God is there, that he loves us, and he desires for us to be in relationship with him. And so the same thing with Lent. You know, if all we do is, okay, have a great Holy Week and walk with the Lord and maybe immerse ourselves and go to all of the liturgies of the Paschal Triduum that we have, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday. If that's all we do during Lent and it reignites and sparks our faith and calls us to a deeper conversion, then thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And one of the things that I'm thinking about here too, Father, is just sometimes I think we might enter into Lent, and even at this stage in the Lenten game, as it were, that we still expect Jesus to kind of, you know, well, Jesus, I did this, I'm doing this, you know, I took up this, I gave up that. And I don't know, just for him to kind of wave a magic wand and, okay, my life is suddenly so much better. But that seems misguided in getting into Lent as well, yeah?
Yeah, when we look at these things of, okay, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, that kind of approach to, I think we fundamentally, we're not doing it for love, right? When we do things, you know, kind of a quid pro quo, I do this, you give me that type of relationship, that's really not a loving relationship. You know, we respond to the love of God the Father through our Lenten practices, but it's not because we can repay him. We simply cannot come close to repaying him. But it's because we love. We're motivated by love. Just as in the same way, at a certain point, God willing, in all of our lives, we realize all of the things that our parents have done for us. And so we start responding to them with a way of loving them in return by respecting their opinions and authority and things along those lines. But I will never be able to repay my mother and father for the things that they did to me simply in the first 6 months of my life, let alone the last 30 some odd years. And so we look to these practices and we step into these because we just want to say, I love you. And all of us say, I love you in different ways. And we are able to, some of us are able to persevere and maintain that with a great intensity over a long period of time. Others of us are just learning how to love. And the Lord meets us and loves us wherever we are along that journey.
Mm-hmm. Father Patrick Hyde is our spiritual director today. We're talking about how it's not too late to start Lent or to start into your Lenten practices or deepen your Lenten practices. So how are your Lenten practices going? Have you struggled to keep up with them? Have you not maybe even started Lent at all this year? And maybe you're looking for ways to start fresh. Give us a call and let us know. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's our toll-free studio line sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. And the number again is 888-914-9149. Our email address, if you'd prefer to send us an email, is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Yeah, and in the same theme that you were just talking about, Father, that I think sometimes we can get into this this mindset that as we enter into Lent, I mean, we might get it in. I don't know that anybody's purely on one side or the other of this, but we might get into it recognizing that, yeah, I need to do some spiritual work here. I need to kind of re-up my Catholic commitments and that sort of thing. But pursuant after God, but at the same time, we can fall into this trap, like you were just saying. We can fall into this trap that, you know, if I do give up chocolate, then maybe God will love me more, or he won't turn away from me so quickly.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that a lot of times if we feel that way, I think this, if we just look at it from a personal perspective, that's probably inspired by some of the earthly relationships that we have, right? That sometimes in our relationships with friends and family, we can be convinced that I'm only as good as what I give to these people, what I bring to the table, whether that be my strengths, my gifts, and my talents, or the things that I'm willing to do, or the lengths that I'm willing to go. But I think it's important that with God, he already loves us, right? We're created and held in being by a sheer and continuous act of love. Everything about our life is a manifestation of a unique act of love, a unique act of God's love. And what does he want from us? He wants us, Jesus says so beautifully in John's gospel, I've come that you might have life and have it more completely, have it more abundantly. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to have a love that grows, that's not simply about adding up things and seeing how far we can go and or how what little we can do and what gain we can get out of that, but of just being totally enraptured in this life of love. You know, I think sometimes too we get so caught up in, well, if I give up chocolate and I didn't get there, well, you know, all is lost or something like that. And we can look at our relationship with God like it's some sort of legal contract, you know, an exchange of goods and services. Yep. But this is not a contract. We can change these things anytime. It's about growing in charity. And sometimes the things that we set out to do actually lead us away from God, not because we're bad people, but because we're focused on the wrong thing or we misunderstand, you know, what the gamble or the gambit that's in front of us. We think, well, if I do X, that'll lead to Y, but then it doesn't at all. And so we have to step back and realize that what God is inviting us into is not particular feats of strength, but an intensification of our love, an intensification of our relationship. There's a greater commitment to opening my heart more to him, because ultimately that's what he wants. He doesn't want your chocolate. He doesn't want your sacrifices. We heard it on Ash Wednesday, didn't we? You know, give me your hearts, you know, not your rent garments. I want your hearts. And that's what he wants from us.
Amen to that. Let's take a phone call, Father. Elaine is calling in from Chicago. Elaine, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Yes. I was just saying that I gave up coffee for the first 2 weeks. Now, I was saying to the priest that come by, I said, you mean Jesus and confess my sins. I said, I just can't do that one. So I changed it to pray for an hour that I have never did before. So that's what I'm doing now.
Sorry, Elaine, did you say you tried to give up coffee at the first? Is that what you said?
I gave up coffee for the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks and a half. And then I was talking to the father who came by to give me Jesus and confess my sins because I can't go out. I told him I can't give, you know, I'm going to start praying for an hour. You know. And this is what I've been doing. Like coffee, I couldn't do that one.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, I think that's a great pivot, Elaine, to this is the beauty of our life. We're rational creatures. We can see, you know, this isn't working in the way that I wanted it to work. And actually, it's sometimes, especially if we're giving up something that, you know, where we have a strong connection to, like we can to our cups of coffee, you know, what actually can happen is the opposite effect of what the Lenten practice should be, right? Instead of looking at this as an opportunity to grow closer to Jesus, we resent it. We're angry. Now we can go through that and maybe have a conversion. But I think the mature thing to do is to say, well, maybe I can start doing this thing again, if it's not an evil thing, and then intensify an area of my life. And so you mentioned, you know, switching from giving up that cup of coffee to spending that hour in prayer with the Lord every day, right? And I'm sure that that's borne fruit in your life to be able to have that kind of conversation and, you know, speaking to the Lord and listening to him every day. You know, there's something there that's going to strengthen you, that's going to deepen you, that's going to turn your heart more and more toward him. And I think, you know, for those of you who are in a similar situation, maybe it hasn't been a fruitful Lent. Maybe the practices you've taken up have led you to be more hostile or frustrated or whatever. This is an opportunity to say, hey, wait a second, I've got these last 10 days or so. I can intensify. I can spend more time with Jesus. I can go back to the sacrament of confession if I haven't been. You know, use this as, okay, where am I? Am I in a better place now than I was on Ash Wednesday? And if not, okay, now I have to ask myself, what would, for the next week or so, 10, you know, whatever it is, what would prayer, fasting, and almsgiving look like so that I can grow closer to Jesus between now and Easter Sunday?
Yeah, very good. I like that a lot. And I love the pivot analogy there. I love, Elaine, your testimony. And I've said it on the program before, but I'll say it again that, you know, I gave up coffee one Lent and it was the longest Lent we've ever had. And so I have resolved not to do that anymore. But for precisely the reason you were just saying, Father, I found myself more irritable, more hostile towards myself, but also, of course, to the people in my life. And so I appreciate you found out, Elaine, that that's the way it goes. And so I'm going to drink coffee and I'm going to pray. I think that's a wonderful pivot at this point in Lent. What are you doing differently in your Lent, or do you need to make a change even in these late days of Lent? That's what we're talking about today. It's never too late to get started. It's never too late to make a change just to deepen your relationship with the Lord. It's not too late to start Lent. If you have ways in which you are thinking about changing it up or have some questions about what you might do, give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We got more of the show coming up right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. My name is Patrick Conley. You heard that Father Rocky's going to Poland and Prague this September. Tickets are almost sold out. Why don't you move over to relevantradio.com/Poland and check out what the itinerary for the trip is going to be, all the sites that they're going to take in, and how you might be part of it. Sign up now, relevantradio.com/Poland. Talking today about how it's not too late to start Lent or to deepen our commitment to our Lenten disciplines, not just for their sake, but for the sake of drawing closer in relationship with the Lord. Our spiritual director today, Father Patrick Hyde, National Eucharistic Preacher and Pastor of the St. Paul Catholic Center at Indiana University. If you have a way in that you are struggling, maybe this Lent, and you have questions about what you could do now, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Let's go back to the phones. Norma is calling in from Miami, Florida. Good afternoon, Norma. Welcome.
Hi. I haven't done much this Lent. As a matter of fact, even one Friday, I even ate meat. I went to confession, and the father didn't give me much, didn't say much about it. He more concentrated on my other sins than on that one. And I feel like so inadequate, so not worthy of God's love. And I know that we're only a week away, and I heard you say that that it's not too late. And it sort of like gave me some hope. And I was wondering, I've done some abstinence, but not because I have planned it. It has kind of like happened. And what really saddens me is that I haven't even offered it as a sacrifice of some sort to our Lord. And I don't know, I feel not worthy of all the love that he has for me, and I don't know what to do.
Well, Norma, thank you. I think it's important to remember that in a real way, none of us are, so to speak, worthy of the love that God has for us, because we're all creatures of the fall. We've all fallen into sin and been affected by sin. And God is perfect. And, you know, as the letter to the Hebrews said, Jesus was like us in all things but sin. But this is the beauty of the love of God, is that in his incarnation, in the incarnation, and especially in the paschal mystery, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we see that he desires more than anything and is willing to enter into the darkest parts of creation, the darkest parts of humanity, so that even in the midst of those dark places, we can know his light and his love, turn back to him, and be healed and saved. And wherever, you know, and sometimes in life, I think it's important for us, it's not because we're, you know, we have bad desire, or bad intentions or something like that, but sometimes we're in difficult places in life, whether that be, you know, professionally or personally or in our families, where it makes entering into Lent even that much harder. And so we need to be generous and patient with ourselves in the midst of that. Sometimes we're just in a dark place with our faith with God. You know, we've been struggling for a while, and this is we take that step toward him, and it's just hard. We feel like we're having, in a way, like a leash pulling us back. But the Lord doesn't ask us to be successful. The Lord just invites us to be faithful. And so I want to encourage you and anyone else who might be in a similar position to just be faithful, to just take that next step and be faithful in the next step. The Lord will be faithful beyond measure. Just be faithful in that next step. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly, Norma, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are loved. And that is just one of the things that is so absolutely uncontestable about our Christian faith. So thank you so much for the call, but know that you are loved, and that the Lord is always waiting for us all to come, and deepen our relationship with him, and that's what it's all about. So to the extent that I can say so, you know, be freed of that and turn to him, to draw deeper, closer to him. Our spiritual director today, again, Father Patrick Hyde, we're talking about not being too late to start Lent, to deepen our Lenten practices. Give us a call. Join the conversation with your questions, with your testimonies at 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, good afternoon to you. Welcome.
Hello there. Hi, Patrick. And hello, Father.
Hello.
I guess my question is, I gave up, I denied myself this year watching TV. I've been realizing I watch too much TV. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give up TV for Lent. But on a good thing, to segment, you know, that, I was going to start reading some of the spiritual books I have to put that in place, with, you know, and plus the Bible. That's my problem. 5 weeks into Lent, I've been not watching TV, but the spiritual reading hasn't really happened, whether I'm tired from work or other things going on. And, you know, it's not that I'm getting frustrated. It's just, how do I just realize which book to read? Now, along with that, I was listening to a Drew Mariani program. He had a priest on talking about reading the scriptures. My thing was, where do I start? Which gospel? Well, in his thing, he was saying, well, I would start with the gospel of Luke, you know, to whoever he was talking about. And I thought, okay, God, you're speaking to me. So, but as much as I want to listen and read the gospel of Luke to start, the most I've gotten done was the introduction, which is very informative and interesting itself. So I'm not sure where to go from here, which book to pick and things like that.
Well, Joe, that's a great, I'm sorry you're in that predicament, but I think it's, let's pull back a little bit sometimes. You know, if reading the scriptures and reading the spiritual classics has not been a part of your regular spiritual life, it's okay to struggle at first. So for instance, if you haven't been to the gym or lifted weights in years, you know, it's gonna, you're gonna not know what to do when you go to the gym. You're gonna struggle to get back into that habit, and you may even end up hurting yourself, right? So I think in the same way in our spiritual life, we have to be kind, and in the, you know, if you were away from exercise or fitness for a long time, you might be best off consulting a trainer to get you a plan and a course of action. And maybe that would be a place for you to start, would be to start with, if you have a friend who's has a background in that, or if you know somebody who is a, you know, your priest or something along those lines, and develop a plan for yourself to start taking those things off. You know, sometimes I do this all the time. I have a little table next to my chair, my reading chair in my room. And I've discovered that if I have one book on there, I will crank through that thing very quickly and move on to the next. But if I have a pile of books sitting there, sometimes I'll do anything but read. Right? Uh-huh. You know, I think sometimes we can be so committed to all of these things, we fail to take that first step. Like I was just saying, the last callers, take that, be faithful in that next step. Be faithful, and if you don't know what to do, pick up the scriptures and start reading. Play Bible roulette. But, you know, everyone works differently. But, you know, don't be afraid that, oh, I don't know where to go. And, you know, sometimes we can allow the uncertainty of where to go to keep us from starting altogether. But step out onto that journey. Take that step and trust in the Lord.
Oh, that's really insightful, Father. That whole single book versus a pile of books. That's what really struck me, and I'm already thinking, okay, I got to go and my bedside table, my prayer chair side table. I got to do some work on that, because you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. When you just look over and you see this pile of books, it just seems insurmountable. So why even start? But yeah. All right. Well, very good. I appreciate it. Joe, I hope that helps, and hope that you are able to do some spiritual reading even in these last few days of Lent. And that's another thing, Father, that I think we should mention here, is that our Lenten disciplines, I mean, there's nothing written anywhere that they have to end on Easter Sunday, right?
No. In fact, they're an intensification of the things that we should be doing every day.
Yeah.
Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You should be praying every single day of your life, right? Like, that's something we should be doing. And Lent, we just intensify it a little bit more. We're more intentional about when and where, maybe. But we should always have spiritual practices. We should be fasting regularly. It doesn't mean that every day we should be fasting, or that we should be, you know, have specific days like we do in Lent. But we should be denying ourselves. You know, something like, okay, I gave up chocolate for Lent. Okay, great. What if your fasting for the rest of the year was not having desserts except on Sundays and solemnities? Then every time you were offered a dessert throughout the whole year, you would say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to say no to this because I love you. And this isn't a great sacrifice, but it's a little sacrifice, and I hope I can just love you a little bit more. And I hope those, you know, whoever, the poor souls in purgatory or my friend who's going through chemotherapy, can know a little bit more of your light and your love. But yeah, when Easter Sunday comes, I remember years ago, my father, he loves coffee, and he gave up coffee for Lent, and it was pretty amazing that he did. And I remember talking to him. I was out of living out of town. I think I was in college at the time. And I asked him how his Easter Sunday went, and he said, I drank a whole pot of coffee at brunch. Not a good idea, right? Like, sometimes we go back in, and it's like, no, I think, you know, maybe not have a whole pot of coffee next time, Dad. But I think sometimes we do those kinds of things. We just say, okay, Lent's over, dive back into whatever we were doing beforehand. But if we're closer to the Lord, we can start to see the benefit of this. Okay, right. Yeah, like, if that little practice of giving up meat on Friday has been helpful and fruitful to you in terms of helping you love others, maybe every Friday you don't eat meat throughout the entire year. Those are the kinds of things we can do to kind of continue to grow. Because this is, you know, I've said this, you know, Lent is our spring training. It's about putting us in a position to succeed moving forward, not just to be successful for 40 days.
Yeah. I love that analogy as well. For spiritual director today, Father Patrick Hyde, talking about how we can continue on. Maybe we can even start afresh our Lenten disciplines, even in this late stage of the game. If you have ways in which you've been struggling, or if you have ways that have really been working well for you, and maybe you're looking for a way to even take it deeper in this last few days before Easter, give us a call. Let us know what it is. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Rick, who's calling in from Bordentown, New Jersey, also from New Jersey. Rick, welcome.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share something that actually helped me greatly, and I kind of didn't even expect it. I met somebody on social media that was doing the Divine Office, like, on a regular basis. And every time I text her, every time I message her, she's, you know, I'm praying in office. So right before the new year, I started to try it, and you know, it's actually helped me a great bit to delve a little bit more into my Catholic faith. Like, it's a lot like a little bit of like music and worship and some scripture. And it's kind of, it helped me balance a lot in, like, during my day, because I kind of would, like, I'll kind of feel a little more lukewarm on a normal basis, like during the morning. So, like, I've been doing the Divine Offices, and it helped me, waking me up a little bit in my faith by just, you know, doing that. So.
Mm. Well, Rick, that's a great thing. I think sometimes in the church, we can think, well, what practice do I have to figure out? Do I need to develop that's going to be great for me? And the beautiful part about the liturgy of the church, which is the church's gift to her people, right, is that, when we enter into liturgical prayer, and when we say liturgical prayer, primarily we mean the prayers that, you know, liturgy from a book. We talk about the Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours. And when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, it's a way of not only praying the prayers that Jesus himself prayed. Remember, Jesus was an observant Jew. Therefore, every day he prayed the Psalms. So when we pray the Psalms, we are praying the prayers that were on the lips of our Blessed Savior. But not only that, we're praying with and for the entire church in union with Jesus Christ. And so when we enter, you know, so that might be something you know, that you might consider in your own, maybe for the last week or two of Lent, or the last week of Lent, is maybe praying the Liturgy of the Hours. There's ways that you can find that online, or there's books, you know, you can buy the 4-volume set, or you can buy the Christian Prayer. I think there's even publications that put out regular Liturgy of the Hours publications. But to spend that time praying with the church, we become more immersed in the life of the church, which is the mission of bringing the revelation of God to the people of God.
Mm. Love it, Rick. Love it. Big fan of the Divine Office myself, and grateful that this has been so meaningful to you in and throughout Lent. So great. Keep it up and expand it. Yeah, you can continue to pray. Yeah, pray the Divine Office each and every day. So thanks for the call, Rick. Appreciate that. I think Mike's back on with us. Mike, let's give you a try. Mike from New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Good morning. What I do is I try, of course, to get to Mass every day, but I try to focus on the last line, which is go and love and serve the Lord. So I try to find that in little ways. For instance, I'm trying to up my tipping when I tip. If I'm tipping 15%, maybe tip 20%, something along those lines. If I find out that there's a person in my parish that's ill, I'll go have a Mass said for them, a Mass of the Living, that I normally wouldn't do. If I'm on the phone with a customer service representative, I'll make sure take the time to ask to speak to their supervisor and tell them what great service they provided for me. And the one that was the most difficult, people that I don't particularly care for, I found that I'm trying to pray for them before Mass.
Wow.
Those are the things that I'm trying to do for Lent.
Mm. Yeah. Mike, that's a good thing. I was talking to a group of high school teachers a couple of weeks ago and just reflecting on at the end of Mass that, you know, we have different translations and options in the Missal in English. But in Latin, it's ite missa est, and it's kind of a mysterious phrase. Go, the Mass is. It can also be a play, you know, on words of, missa being close to sent or mission, right? Go, it, he, she, it is sent, is being sent into the world. So there's a, you know, but I think ultimately what it comes down to when we look at, especially those lines at the end of Mass, which is where the spiritual life comes into play, right, is that it's an evolving opening of mystery of God that is not just contained in one place, but is meant to be shared with the whole world. And in our spiritual life, it's not just about me and Jesus spending time together. It's about me and my particular life emanating forth the love of God into every person, into every relationship I encounter. And so during Lent, you know, we intensify those practices. We're more cognizant. We're more intentional. Because what do we want ultimately is for the name and the love of Jesus to be glorified in every place.
Amen to that. Mike, great practices. Thank you so much. Great suggestions for people who may be wanting to take on something new, mm-hmm. even in this late stage in the game. I love it. And that's what we're talking about today, that it's not too late to start Lent. And whether you've started or whether you haven't, give us a call, join the conversation, ask your questions of our spiritual director, Father Patrick Hyde, and let us know what you have been doing for Lent or if there's anything special that you're going to be doing in these last few days before the Paschal Triduum. 888-914-9149 is our phone number, 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to come back with more of the show right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sendovich, our producer, and Thomas Engesser taking your phone calls today. We're talking today about that it's not too late to start Lent or to deepen your Lenten commitments so that you may draw closer to the Lord. Our spiritual director is Father Patrick Hyde, Dominican priest, pastor of the St. Paul Catholic Center at Indiana University. And Father, start this segment off with just, I know that many of us find us in this situation, and it's maybe a difficult thing to talk about, but where we might have a loved one, friend, family member, someone who really hasn't done anything for Lent and maybe kind of scoffs at the whole idea of doing something for Lent. Any suggestions about how we might tactfully and in a loving way suggest that maybe it might not be too late for them to do something before Easter?
Yeah, that's a great question, Patrick. I remember years ago, a friend of mine and I was a student brother at the time, so studying for the priesthood as a Dominican friar, and invited me out to have lunch with him on a Friday of Lent at a local pizza place. And we get to this pizza place he orders a meat lover's pizza. And and I knew this person through the Catholic Church, so I was kind of surprised by that. And, but I think, you know, when you're asking that question, I was thinking back, like, what was I going through at that time? Like, what do I say? What do I do? Now, there's any number of reactions that we can have toward that. The first and the most obvious and perhaps the easiest would just be to say, what are you doing? Why don't you get your act together? And this is Lent. I can't believe it, you know, and really castigate the person. The other thing is to say nothing, right? Well, I think the Lord calls us, the virtue usually is somewhere in the middle. And sometimes I think we can get so caught up in our Catholic faith on external practices that we fail to see the person and to seek to honor and to love their heart and their experiences. And so a lot of it is also just invitational. Like sometimes we can say, you know, if we know a friend or a family member or someone who's dear to us isn't particularly close to the Lord or isn't living the faith is just to say, hey, you know, I've really had a fruitful Lent this year, and these are the things that I've been doing. We can just testify to what the Lord has done in our life, or we can have more, you know, you can even put the ball in their court and to say, you know, what are the things that you do in your life that help you draw closer to God? And over time, we can eventually maybe have a pathway to a deeper conversation. But I would say in general, I would not encourage confrontation unless, of course, it is, you know, and I remember that going back to that pizza that I had with that guy is at the end of the conversation. He said something to me like along the lines of that he'd really been struggling with his faith, and he'd really been in a very dark place with his faith. Huh. And I often look back and I see the Holy Spirit really held my tongue there, because if I had just said, what are you doing? That's a Friday in Lent, blah, blah, blah. Eventually we did, of course, talk about that. He would have maybe taken it the wrong way, and it wouldn't have opened his heart to share some of the things that he shared. And so, you know, we want to challenge and we want to encourage, but we want to also do it in a way that is invitational and is going to lead someone to a deeper faith with Jesus. And sometimes that takes us on a different path than the easy path.
Yeah, amen to that. And the easy path, as you mentioned, either just coming right out and confronting, or saying nothing at all, which I think that's mm-hmm. a great thing that your friend was able to open up to you about some of the places he was spiritually as well. Well, thanks be to the Holy Spirit for that. And we're talking today about that it's not too late to start Lent or to deepen our Lenten commitments and in order to draw closer to the Lord. Let's go now to Roberto, who's calling in from Kirkland, Washington. Roberto, good morning.
Good morning. So I wanted you to share my story on Lent. I've always struggled with, you know, putting a little, you know, I'm going to fast from coffee, from food and this, and I always mess up. I'm never successful. So last year, I decided to buy a book from The Passion of the Christ, and they're small meditations daily all through Lent. And I cannot tell you how much I've learned to meditate on Jesus' passion. And it has helped me tremendously the way Jesus suffered for us. But what blew my mind was those meditations, how he was really happy to get this over with. There was one where it says that he was really extremely, he wanted his crucifixion to happen because he wanted to do it for us. And it has taught me a lot to look at my sin. And every time I sin, it's more important now that, you know, what he went through and, the meditations, you know, the pain and all of that. And it has just opened my mind and, you know, try to be better. But this year, my spiritual guide, she suggested that I also with our Blessed Mother to walk the last 2 weeks of Lent. And it's been kind of hard because the relationship with my Blessed Mother, I had it when I was a little kid. As an older adult, it seems like it wasn't there, but it has been a really good thing because she also walked with Jesus all through his life, and she did it so triumphantly. You know, she was strong, and I never thought of, you know, joining her this last 2 weeks. And it's been an eye opening for me because I wanted to get closer to God, but because of a father wound, it was really hard to trust. And it's getting there, and I just wanted to share that, you know, we don't have to fast from food all the time. Something I know one of the priests here said it already, and it's, you know, and but praying to, I always pray 30 days before Lent so that I can, what can I do rather than, you know, for God to reveal to me what to do rather than me just say I'm going to do this. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah,
thank you, Roberto. I think it's always good to, the devotional practices of our faith, as you were mentioning, right? You know, when we commit to them, they're there for a reason, right? And the ones that are, especially the ones that have been around for a longer time, they've stood the test of time because of the graces that are part of those prayers and that. But I think, yeah, one of the one of the things that we all go through as part of Lent, as you've gone through, Alberto, is we brush up against, and sometimes we hit full force, our weaknesses and our areas of vulnerability in life. And that's a good thing, because that's where Jesus wants to be explicitly. Like, that is where he comes. You know, he says that the sick, or the those who are well, do not need a physician, but the sick do. And that's the hardest part, I think, in our walk with Jesus, in particular during Lent, is, or at any time of our life, is that when we get to that point where we know we need to go further, we know we need to go deeper, and it's just, it's hitting up against all those areas where we're weak. And oftentimes, as you and I think those devotional practices can help carry us through, because in a way they keep the lines of communication open. They keep us focused on drawing closer to Jesus, even if everything in our heart, life and in our heart, is pushing us in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Roberto, thank you so much for the call. And you're right, Father, those devotional practices, specifically if we turn to a particular devotion, a particular meditation, maybe we add that on during Lent. And, you know, Holy Week is nearly upon us, and that's one of the things that there are a plethora of Holy Week meditations that are out there that you can avail yourself of. And even right here, actually during this time slot from 11 a.m. to noon central here on Relevant Radio, next week is going to be Father Rocky's Holy Week Mission. So make sure and tune in for that, because you can hear from the head of Relevant Radio, you can head Father Rocky, you can hear from him his own Holy Week teachings and meditations right here on Relevant Radio. And it will also be on our show page as our podcast, relevantradio.com/innerlife. All right, let's take see if we can squeeze one more phone call in. Jim calling in from Troy, Ohio. Jim, welcome to the Inner Life. Only got a couple minutes left.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'll make this really quick and brief. I totally agree with you made the comment about what you do in Lent. It doesn't have to end at Lent. I started the rosaries years ago for Lent and said, you know, when it's over, I said, why should I be stopping this? So we kept the rosary going on a daily basis. That was a good thing. Something you said also about the Fridays, about giving up something on Fridays. Years ago, I heard to my surprise that when the bishops were given permission to, in the United States, that they were, you did not have to give up meat on Fridays through the year, but you were supposed to do something in substitution if you did not give up meat.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is true. Is that, am I wrong? That during the year,
yeah, that's correct. We are still required. We are still required on every Friday of the year to do some form of penance. The church required that penance would be giving up meat on Fridays. It's still encouraged, but in the United States, it's not required. But because I am a simpleton in many ways, I always give up meat on Fridays, because if I don't do something consistently, I will always forget. So that's something, an easy way of making sure you do some penance is by doing the same penance every Friday. It doesn't have to be that. But for me, I figure I'm going to do it during Lent. I might as well just do it most of the rest of the year.
Yeah, yeah, amen. Father, just in the last 20 seconds or so here before we ask for your blessing, I think my question, might it be a good practice to look over our Lenten practices and say, okay, this one I might go back to eating chocolate or drinking coffee or whatever come Easter, but here's one that I can hang on to, just like Jim was saying.
Yeah, I think just a good rule of thumb is, has this led me to be closer to Jesus? Mm-hmm. To look at those practices that we've done and to just give ourselves the opportunity to say, hey, is this working? And if working means, am I loving Jesus and my neighbor a little bit more because of this practice?
Amen. It's a great way. Great scale that you can use to see if these practices are helping you develop a greater relationship with the Lord. Father, it's been a great conversation. May we have a blessing from you, please?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Not too late, friends, to start or to deepen your Lenten practices, as long as they're leading you into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, our celebrant today, Father Richard Getchell. Tomorrow on the program, kind of a continuance of this theme, Palm Sunday and Holy Week, how to get the best and most out of them, with our spiritual director, Father Sam Martin. Hope you can join us for that. Until then, grace and peace.